Imagine standing face to face with a rhesus macaque while desperately cramming for exams. This happened to Sanjay Sarma, who, despite being among India's top students, found himself failing courses at the prestigious Indian Institute of Technology. That monkey, effortlessly taking what it wanted while Sarma struggled to absorb knowledge, seemed better adapted to university life than he was. This moment sparked his lifelong quest to understand why traditional education works for some but fails many others. Learning isn't supposed to be painful. It's our evolutionary birthright. The problem isn't with our brains, but with educational systems designed without considering how our brains actually learn. Our schools don't shape students so much as systematically eliminate those who don't fit predetermined standards, creating a stark correlation between family income and educational success. Key insight: learning difficulties often stem not from personal deficiencies, but from educational systems that ignore how our brains actually work. Despite knowing better, many students still cram before exams. Research shows that spaced learning, studying in sessions separated by days or weeks, is significantly more effective than studying all at once. This spacing effect improves language acquisition, 34% better vocabulary retention, mathematics, twice the performance after 4 weeks, and motor skills, extending beyond humans to various species including fruit flies and sea slugs. Nobel laureate Eric Kandel discovered that stimulating a sea slug siphon with spaced sessions created habituation lasting weeks, while massed stimulation lasted only 1 day. Long-term memory requires protein synthesis and structural changes. Synapses grow larger, add receptors, and form new connections, physically altering brain structure. This likely evolved because repeatedly encountered information is typically more survival critical. Key insight: the spacing effect works at the cellular level. Spaced stimulation allows cellular machinery to refresh between encoding attempts, creating stronger, more durable memories. Our brain isn't a general-purpose computer, but a collection of specialized systems. MIT researcher John Gabrielli identified distinct memory systems, explicit, conscious recollections, and implicit, unconscious skills. Colleague Nancy Kanwisher discovered specialized perceptual regions, including the visual word form area that processes written language, despite having no evolutionary basis. Reading demonstrates this specialization. When reading Peanut, visual information travels to the brain's letter box, which identifies letters regardless of font or case. Information then follows either the deep root, letters directly to meaning, or the surface root, letters to sounds to meaning. Dyslexia often involves atypical development of pathways connecting language centers, disrupting the surface root needed for unfamiliar words. Reading isn't an evolved ability, but a hack of our neural architecture. Columbia neuroscientist Jacqueline Gottlieb suggests curiosity activates when information forces us to reframe prior knowledge, explaining the enduring power of the Socratic method. Key insight: learning difficulties often stem from mismatches between educational approaches and our brain's specialized processing systems. Forgetting isn't a memory system flaw, it's a feature. Psychologist John Alexander McGeoch's 1932 experiments showed forgetting is more complex than simple decay. When subjects memorized word pairs like cat-peanut and later encountered competing pairs like cat-glasses, recalling the original pairs became significantly harder than time-based decay would predict. Robert and Elizabeth Bjork developed the concepts of retrieval strength, memory accessibility, and storage strength, depth of learning. Their research suggested long-term memory might be virtually limitless, with forgetting serving as an adaptive pruning mechanism. When we struggle to retrieve information due to forgetting and succeed, we increase storage strength, strengthening memory pathways while weakening competing associations. Florida International University School of Law proved this principle's effectiveness. When Lewis Scholes implemented techniques like self-pretesting and spaced repetition, FIU rose from 9th to 1st place in Florida bar exam passage rates within 2 years. Most impressive was the effect on struggling students in the bottom 20% of their class, whose pass rates jumped from the high 50s to the low 80s. Key insight: forgetting creates desirable difficulties that strengthen learning. When we struggle to recall information, we build stronger, more accessible memories. MIT's Technology-Enabled Active Learning, TEAL, classroom replaced traditional lectures with collaborative learning at network tables. The results were dramatic. Students scored twice as high on conceptual questions, experienced half the failure rate, and eliminated the gender performance gap created by traditional gatekeeper approaches. This innovation echoes Reverend Dr. Andrew Bell's 1787 experiment in Madras, India. After observing children teaching each other, Bell developed classes featuring individual advancement, daily assessments, and peer tutoring. By his death in 1832, over 12,000 schools had adopted his system. Despite its success, Bell's approach eventually yielded to age-graded classrooms taught by professional adults, a shift led by Horace Mann, who favored standardization over personalization, a tension that persists today. Key insight: the most effective learning environments foster collaboration, immediate feedback, and hands-on experimentation rather than passive listening. The 42 Coding School reimagines education through peer learning. With just 4 teachers supporting 1,000 students, learners become educators, forming spontaneous clusters around difficult problems. Evaluating less advanced peers earns you the right to be assessed by more advanced students, creating a self-sustaining cycle. Wildflower Montessori schools demonstrate the enduring relevance of century-old educational principles. Students work with self-correcting materials arranged by difficulty. Randomized trials show Montessori students outperform traditional students both academically and socially, with smaller achievement gaps across income levels. The MOOC revolution began when MIT's first online course attracted 155,000 registrants in 2012. By 2018, over 100 million students had enrolled in courses from 900-plus institutions worldwide. However, these platforms primarily served already educated, affluent populations rather than democratizing education. MIT's MicroMasters program functions as both a standalone credential and a pathway to a full master's degree, all for about $1,000, a fraction of traditional tuition costs. Key insight: the most promising educational innovations combine flexibility, peer learning, and technology to create personalized pathways that respect each learner's natural pace and style. What if education aligned with how we actually learn instead of arbitrary traditions? Our brains naturally excel at learning, but only under the right conditions. Spaced repetition builds stronger neural connections than cramming. Struggle and retrieval strengthen memories better than passive review. Peer teaching activates multiple learning pathways, while self-paced progression eliminates artificial advancement barriers. The future of education isn't about more technology or stricter standards. It's about matching practices to our biology. We need systems that maintain rigor without unnecessary barriers, balance relevance with timeless principles, and teach both subject matter and meta skills, creativity, comfort with ambiguity, and working memory control. Learning isn't something that happens to us, it's something we do. Understanding our brain's natural learning blueprint transforms us from passive recipients to active knowledge architects. Provide the right conditions for your brain to thrive. Space your learning. Embrace productive struggle. Teach others what you know, and trust the remarkable learning machine between your ears. Key insight: education's future lies not in forcing our brains to adapt to rigid systems, but in designing systems that honor how our brains naturally learn best.